Well, we just have a simple little subject this morning. I want to say first how much we appreciate our visitors being here today. Every one of you means so much to us. We're very thankful for that. This little word we wrote on the board is just strength. It seems like a mundane subject, but I'll tell you, sometimes we need some strength, don't we? Sometimes people just wear out. I was watching a boy swimming the other day, and he had been doing all kinds of activity and everything and in the water and wrestling around with others, and then it came time to jump back up on the dock, and I, young, strong fella, and he had a time. He needed some strength to get up on that dock. You know, we need strength too. And lots of times things come in our lives that we don't expect. Our world today, our United States, just in the last weeks has experienced things that they just didn't know was coming. They didn't know all those fires were coming. They didn't know the hurricanes were coming, but they were. And people need strength, don't they? They need hope now. There's something wiped out that was there that's not there now. And so this morning I just want to look a little bit into the Word of the Lord and ask God to encourage our hearts today. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, I want to start there with something that most all of us are so very familiar with these scriptures this morning. And we've all heard them many times. But they have such deep meaning. And I want us to think about it this morning just a little bit. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 to 10. Paul says here, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now God let this thing be in Paul's life for a reason. Because he said, just to help him so that he don't get exalted. The Lord gave him something to keep him humble, didn't he? The Lord's like that. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," or three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I just want to concentrate on that this morning. Folks, I really believe this. Many times our greatest strength is our weakness. I hope that through this little lesson this morning, if we can get a hold of anything, to get a hold of that, that because we are weak, because we don't feel strong, because we are not strong, does not mean that we are not God's. Now, I'm not talking about not strong in that we go out and sin. I'm saying we feel weak. We know the battle is greater than us. We know the circumstances of life sometimes are greater than we are. But Paul, the Lord told Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. What I have let come into your life, Paul, I've let it come for a reason." And Paul wanted that guy rid of. He wanted to be rid of that. And so it says he prayed three times for the Lord to take it away. And it's okay for us to pray for the Lord to take things away. But I will tell you, sometimes God sees fit to not take it away. And here he just simply told Paul, "I'm not going to take it away. But I'll tell you what, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, lots of times we don't realize that. We don't get a hold of that. But I really believe that our weakness, I believe this, is our greatest strength. Why? Because it makes us know who we really are. When people feel invincible and they feel great and strong, they're a prey to the enemy. They go out and bluster their way through and they do things, and maybe they are strong. And suddenly they find the old thing of pride gets a hold of them, or lust, or something that they can't handle. But I will tell you, when we're weak and we're looking up to God all the time, there is an abundance of strength coming from heaven. And that's what the Lord wants us to feel. He wants us to always and continually feel a great need of God in our life. And that gives us the prayer. That gives us the heart to trust in the Lord and to look to Him. And when we do that, He helps us, doesn't He? And He has a lot more strength than we do. Now, that's just very simply put. But this morning, I hope that we can grasp in our hearts, you know what? I'm not going to kick anymore and say, well, I'm weak. I don't understand. Or I don't, whatever all those things are. You know what? That might be your greatest strength. It might be that drives you to a place before God where you begin to call upon Him, Lord, I need help. I need help real bad. And when God helps, folks, there isn't any stopping His hand. Who can stop God? If He's for us, who can be against us? It goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul learned a lesson here. You know what infirmities means? It means feebleness of body or mind. By implication, malady. Moral frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness. You know, we don't like any of those things, do we? We like to be strong. Paul liked to be strong. He didn't, whatever this was that God gave him, he didn't ever tell us. But whatever it was, he didn't like. And he wanted it to go away. And God simply said, Paul, in other words, it'll keep you on your knees. It'll keep you humble. This thing will just keep you right where you need to be. Folks, we want to be able to feel our total dependence upon God and feel that we need Him more than anything else. I want to look at Isaiah 40 and 29. Well, I'll go on and read verse 10. I'm sorry, I didn't finish reading there. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul had learned a lesson, and he learned it so well that he said, I take pleasure in those things. That's what helps me. That's what keeps me real close to God. Folks, I believe for us to wish for that day when we are sailing along, nothing ever to touch us, nothing ever to make us feel the need to cry out to God that, Lord, I got to have help. I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength for this. I need your help. You know, when we get to that point, we're in a really good place. We really are if we call out to God in that place. That's when God shows Himself strong. That's when all the miracles, we heard about miracles this morning in Sunday school. That's where all those miracles happened. There was some great need. And so we'll look at some of those, one or two of those today or so. Isaiah 40 and 29, the scripture here says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. You have to have your strength renewed too. Because we're just finite beings, aren't we? We're humble beings at best. And so we have to rest every night or so. Some people, somebody told me the other day, they went 39 hours without sleep. Except a little bit on the way over to the funeral. Do you know, you can't do that very long, can you? We have to have our strength renewed. And so it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, this morning, I would that God would reveal to us He's not waiting for us to be a giant in our own eyes. He's waiting for us to humble ourselves to Him and call out to God for mercy, for help, for strength. And I will tell you, one of the things in my life, I will tell you, that solidified my experience with the Lord, or really helped, was 30 years ago. And I will tell you, I came to a place where I felt like I was out of strength. Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm discouraged. I can't go any further. I don't want to give up, but I don't know what to do. Do you know that when I got to that place, the Lord undergirded and strengthened and helped? And I learned from that. I could not believe the way that God, at our farthest, most extreme situation, how that God will meet us there. And He did. And do you know that that changed my perspective on those things from then on? And so that's always meant so much to me that He did that. And so here, they that wait upon the Lord, the emphasis is on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount, shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. I want to encourage us this morning to wait on the Lord. One scripture says, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord this morning. In Judges 6 and 38, we read a little story, and I'm not going to read it all. I would love to because I love this story. I like all these stories back here, most of them. But in Judges 6 and 3, and so it was when Israel had sown, they planted their crops, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth. They destroyed all their crops. Now, what were they going to do? It says they destroy the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza. That was the land of the Philistines. They just destroyed everything, didn't they? And left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. You know what? They did the right thing, didn't they? They had been under this heavy hand for a long time. I didn't read this morning. It seems to me like it was 20 years, wasn't it, or so? They had been under the hand of these Midianites. And we see here that they came in then and just impoverished them. Destroyed everything, their cattle, their food, their crops. What were they going to eat? What were they thinking? Seems mean to me. Why would they do something like that? But it happens, doesn't it? Why do bad things happen? They do, don't they? Whether we can say why or not, they do. They happen. But I will tell you what, we must remember that God has not left us in this world without help in those kind of times. And so when we really get in trouble is when these kind of things happen and we don't have God. But when we have the Lord, it changes the picture. And the Lord really wants us to trust in Him. In chapter 7 now, just turn the page, Judges 7 and 1 to 7, it says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, I want us to get the picture of what the Lord just told Gideon. He said here, the Lord told him, you've got too many soldiers, Gideon, because when you go out and I'm with you and you win this battle, the people are going to, they're liable to vaunt themselves. They're liable to say, we did it. We're that strong. We're that awesome. And so, where is the glory to God? Where is the trust in the Lord? And so, we see here where he said, you've got too many. And now, therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Now, you know, the Lord wanted to do something here. God made us. We have to know that. God made us. He wants relationship with us. He wants praise from us. The Lord wants what He built, what He made. He wants it to glorify Him. He wants it to do what He made it for. And so we see here where He said, send them home. There's 20,000 or 22,000. Send them home. Send all of them, a bunch of them home. Everybody that's fearful, 22,000 went home, I believe. And then He said, there's way too many yet. And again, we find He got down until there was 300. And then in the 22nd verse, we read of the 7th chapter, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Sheba in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. You know what happened here? It says they stood and they blew their trumpets, and the Lord did something really amazing here. Because, see, they had begun to cry unto the Lord. And I don't know if I brought that out well. But when this began to happen, it says they cried unto the Lord. And so they didn't have anything else to do. They didn't have any strength against this kind of multitude. And they had took away all their food. And now what were they going to do? Starve? But they cried unto the Lord. This morning, I just want to encourage us that God wants to renew our strength. He wants to give us what we need in the battles of life and in all the troubles that come upon us. We are not without help from the Lord. These people here, God wanted Gideon to know, I did this. I did this for you. And He wants us to know that too. Sometimes He allows our house to be blown down. Sometimes He allows the flood. Sometimes He brings the flood, maybe. Sometimes God, those things happen, don't they, in life. But I will tell you, God doesn't want people to blaspheme at those times. He really wants us to call out to Him. And so Paul found that out, and the Lord told him, and Paul wrote this then, that your weakness, what did Paul write there? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so this morning, you know, that's the way it's been down through the centuries. That's the way it's been for people that I know that have served God. It hasn't been that there's these certain people that are just stronger, better, they're just more capable, more able. I will tell you, the ones that are more capable and more able, They're the ones that learn to call upon God. And so this morning, if we can learn to call upon God, folks, all heaven is beckoning to help us. All heaven is moved by the prayer and the cry of the humble. In Hebrews 11 and 17, we find Abraham here. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in a figure. Do you know the only reason that Abraham, the only reason he could have obeyed God in this instance was that he believed God? Because God told him, through this son is going to be the promise that I'm going to raise up seed to you, and they're going to be as the sand of the sea. And still there is seed today. And now we are his spiritual seed, are we not? And so we find that God promised Abraham, and Abraham believed it. This morning, we've got to believe the promises of God. We've got to call upon him. And I will tell you, when we do that, I have found that he works in marvelous ways. And he works over and over and over again. When we lose is when we take our own way. And when we try to drive our own little car. I thought about, or Rosie was telling me about this, and I would have forgotten it. One of our children one time was driving a go-kart, and they was on one of these tracks where you rent the cart for a little bit. And they were going around, and they took a little child with them. And Rosie was just noticing this little child all along the way, and they were holding their steering wheel, which had nothing to do with the car. It was just a little fake steering wheel there for the passenger. And they was just holding it and just gritting their teeth all the way and just trying to turn just right and all those things. And when they got done, then the child came off, and Rosie talked to him a little about the ride, and oh, they were just like, I don't know how to drive that thing. You know what? They could have relaxed, and they could have just enjoyed the ride, because they didn't have anything to do with it anyway. You know, this morning, we're like that. We're like that. We have calamities come just like they came to everybody. Calamities come. Just like what happened back here to Gideon. And there's a whole Bible full of stories like that. And the children of Israel could have said, we're going to get them back. We're going to figure out how to be strong enough. It would have been fruitless. It would have been an exercise in futility. But do you know that they called on the Lord? And they let him guide their little go-kart. And do you know that what happened was so amazing? 300 men went out there and blew trumpets and yelled and cried out. And in that same time, then all of them turned their sword on each other. They weren't even fighting. They were yelling. And here, God, they were blowing trumpets. Just 300 of them in the midst of this great multitude. Do you know our life is like that? Folks, when we think we have to be in charge of everything, when we think everything settles on us, when we think the world's going to fall apart because it sets on my shoulders, we're mistaken. Because the best thing we can do is say, Lord God, have mercy on me. I'm not very big. I only take up about a foot and a half wide and a foot deep or so. I don't take up very much space, but I need you that inhabits the universe to take this for us. Abraham found his strength in believing God. I want to encourage us to believe the promises of God this morning. Oh, do we not know that it all lies in God? When the young man it was, I believe, over in England many years ago that started the orphanages there. Do you know He wanted to prove to people that you could trust God alone. And so he determined, I'm not going to ask anybody for anything. I'm going to prove to people that God will supply. And do you know, thousands and thousands of people went through there. God supplied those needs. He trusted in the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning to search for God. Look to Him. Call out to Him. Cry to Him. In Him is everything that we need. Romans, the 4th chapter, is another place where it talks about Abraham. 4:18. It says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Folks, when we are strong in ourselves, we are at our weakest point. We're most vulnerable when we are strong in me. But I will tell you, every day we ought to wake up, and I do look to the Lord daily. Lord, have mercy. I need grace today. I need grace to be gentle, to be kind, that my words be right. I need grace to be honest, to be careful in life. I need you to help me today. Do you know that if we do not feel that kind of need on the Lord, we're vulnerable in life in many ways. And so here Abraham, we find him and being fully persuaded, verse 21, that what he had promised, he was able also to believe, to perform. And I believe this morning, if we can be fully persuaded, folks, God is able to help us. He is able to perform that which he said he will. You and I need help. We need strength. We need a renewing of strength. How many has been all the way to the end of their strength physically, mentally? Anybody mentally and spiritually? You ever been to the end of the way? And isn't it amazing how God can suddenly, in a few hours, renew that? In a night's sleep, you can feel so different. And in a little touch from the Lord, our weakness, our strength that was so small, can be so great. The Lord can do that for us today. And we find those that went before us having experienced those things. But they were persuaded. They trusted in God. They kept themselves in God's hands. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now we read this a couple of weeks ago. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do you know that He promised us right here, it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Count Him able to do that this morning. Count God able to keep you for the next 40 years or however long you live. Count Him able that I don't have to fall. I know the Lord cares about people when they fall. But do you know that we can count Him able if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll closely follow the Lord, that we don't have to fall. Count Him able. Count Him able that in every temptation we come to, and you will come to temptations, that He will make a way to escape. Now, if we face it on our own, if we bluster our way through, we will fall. I will promise you, if you don't pray, if you don't seek God's help, if you don't find His grace, you will fall. But if we will see the Lord for what He is, the great God of heaven that gave us a whole book full of promises, books, 66 books, gave us full of promises for life. Count him able this morning. Count him able to give you grace to live in your situation. I don't think any of us are the place the Midianites were. They had destroyed the land. There wasn't anything left. What were they going to do? They destroyed it all the way to Gaza, which enters the Philistines' territory. They just destroyed everything. Do you know that sometimes some of us here, I know, you suffer some things I don't. I thank God I don't. But I know this, God will keep you too. He'll keep you just like He keeps me in the things I suffer that you don't this morning. There is no temptation that has taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and that's what we trust in this morning. God is faithful. God is faithful. Count Him able. Do we believe it? Will we take Him at His word? Faithful. God, You're faithful. I'm going to trust in You today. I'm not going to turn from You. I'm not going to let my head hang down. I'm going to believe You. I'm going to serve You. And whatever it takes, I'm going to do by the grace of God. In Hebrews 11 and 34, it says, quench the violence of fire. There were a whole lot of people here, and we read about them in Hebrews 11. I'm not going to read them this morning, but you can read many of them. They through faith, through believing in the promises of God, they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who would have imagined, really, who would have imagined you get thrown into the lion's den and those lions aren't going to do anything? But there was an angel there, wasn't there? And he stopped the mouths of the hungry lions. And it says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. Out of weakness, we're made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants to do for you and me just what He did for all these folks. Out of weakness, they were made strong. I can think of nobody, hardly, that ever comes to the place that Joseph did. I know Job came to a place like that too. They were two of the most extreme examples that I know of. But I will tell you, when I see how he kept his integrity with God, he kept his walk with God, he kept looking to the Lord, he kept serving the Lord all through his time when his heart was broken, when everything was taken from him, including the hope that anything would ever be better. Because he spent years in prison. What hope was there that anything could ever be better? But he believed in God. And even in prison, he served the Lord there, did he not? Oh, this morning, let's do that. Let's serve the Lord. Let's allow Him that place in our life. In Romans 8 and 35, and this is Paul writing again. He experienced these things that he's writing about here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning? That there's nothing that will be able to separate us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're going through a famine. I don't know if you're going through a peril or persecution or all those things. But Paul found this to be true. And he said that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So I want to encourage us this morning, don't let anything separate us from God. The Lord has strength for us this morning. Out of weakness, we're made strong. That's what God wants to do in your life and mine. Now, maybe we feel like, well, I've failed too many times. Out of weakness, we're made strong. I'm persuaded that the failure is on our part, not God's, this morning. That by two things, two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I just want to read a few other places here. In Psalm 27, listen to this. Psalm 27 and 13. It says, I had fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to wait on Him, to not run off and leave Him, to not count the victory lost before God comes on the scene. Wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Don't get in too big a hurry. God will get there. He don't work quite as fast as we do. And sometimes He makes us wait till the hand is up. And that's what Abraham experienced, didn't he? And God sees what's in our heart. They're going to trust me. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He believed God. He believed His promises this morning. And so I encourage us, believe the promises of God. This scripture says, I'd fainted. I would have never made it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't take our own cart and drive it. Believe the Lord. In Isaiah 41 and 10, when we take our own way, I will tell you, folks, we make a major mistake. Because not only do we disobey God many times, but what we really suffer from is we don't get what God wanted us to have. There's a lot of times, well, I'd say every time, in those trials, the Lord has some things He wants to teach us in that. He wants to inspire our faith. I've seen times when it seemed like, I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't see how it can come out. But I will tell you, when God performs a true miracle, it inspires your faith. And that's what God wants to do for us. And we short-circuit Him if we don't allow Him that space. In Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I have that underlined in my Bible. You know how many times I've read that scripture? I don't know. I know many, many times. Lots of times. And I found it to be true. We can plead these promises before God this morning. Do you know that even Jesus, Luke 22 and 41... And when He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose up from prayer and was come to His disciples, He found them sleeping for sorrow. And He said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Jesus knew. He knew that that night he was going to suffer. He knew this. And he went out and he prayed. And he sought the Lord. And it says his sweat as it was as it were great drops of blood. Whatever that means. But you know what really is amazing? There appeared unto him an angel from heaven strengthening him. This morning I just want to encourage us. Let the Lord strengthen us. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let the devil cheat us out of our victories. Look to him. Call upon him. Search for God in those places. It is in those places many times where God is most revealed. And you see it over and over when you feel like there's no way, and yet there is a way with God. How many times have those of you that have served the Lord a long time, I want to ask you, how many times have you come to the Lord knowing, I don't see any way. I really don't see any way for this one. And the Lord worked out a way. And it was an amazing way. God loves to do that for us. He loves to strengthen us. The Lord will give us strength if we will seek Him this morning. And I urge us to do that. Amen.